Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said,
glory to God forever and ever. Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We are so grateful to be yours. We're grateful for everything. Jesus, wonderful Jesus, precious, precious Jesus, reveal yourself to us and your glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We acknowledge you are God. Amen. We all, that was Revelation, the first part of Revelation chapter 22, that scripture. We all want new and fresh things, right? Especially in our awesome, most holy faith, new things. And so someone may, if they've listened to this series, they may hear some of the same things repeated. But the greatest, new, most awesome entity that can never be put into human words, Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord. That's the answer for every person on the earth. Amen. If anyone anywhere wants to know what's the answer, the real answer, some people ask what's the meaning of life, it's Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I believe with you right now, if you don't know, if you haven't been born of the Holy Spirit, I believe with you to receive that. That's the key. If you have that, if you've received the baptism, amen. Well, I believe with you for the anointing. And the glory of the Lord can never ever be put into human words. He's an eternal revelation. He's revealed himself as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Like an eternal revelation. Okay, and in this message, you may hear some very extreme statements, but our great gospel is the most wonderful extreme known to mankind. The most wonderful, glorious, awesome celebration and extreme for those who simply choose God, the only true God, and not self. That's all they have to do. Believe in him, receive him. Now they do have to be serious about it and continue on with him and serve him their whole life. It's not enough just to believe in him and then not live it. That's a fact. That's in the gospel. That's in the Bible as well. The demons believe that Jesus is Lord, but they obviously you're not saved, okay? So it's the most wonderful extreme, but there, as I've mentioned, there's the other side. It's the extreme in the opposite direction for those who choose self. The most horrible suffering imaginable for eternity. I don't want to focus on that because we are in a time right now where we need revival. We need the presence of Jesus, the glory of the Lord to come into our communities, into our nations. And that's the whole answer to, for example, for people to get saved. The only way people get saved is through the anointing, the presence of Jesus. Amen. That's the only way that a believer can walk with Him, is through the glorious presence of Jesus Christ, the glory of the Lord. The chief end of man is to know Him. The end result, what man was born to do, is fellowship with Him. Amen. Now that's the very heart of it. If you really want to know why, you know, okay, I said, what's the answer? It's Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. Well, what was man born to do? Why are we on the earth? There's many mysteries surrounding that, but something that has been revealed in the Bible. Man was born to fellowship with God. And I'm very surprised that more, this is not preached and taught more. So I want to just say it. I want to say it and say it again and again and again and again. Man was born to fellowship with God. He's the most glorious, most beautiful being in the universe. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God and infinitely more, and He's God Almighty. But He can't be put into human words. The Holy Spirit is at the very heart Jesus. He is Jesus. He's Jesus unlimited, as a great man of God came up with that phrase. I didn't come up with that. He's Jesus unlimited. Every person can know Jesus fully. Glory to God. Okay, and there are practical aspects of seeking and finding Him to get that fellowship. I've been discussing that. There's four phases of knowing God. There's three phases of knowing the Holy Spirit. There's three realms of prayer. But I want to focus on the big picture. These extremes. We know that in our daily life we should not go to extremes, right? We should do everything in moderation. Well, the gospel is so wonderful. Our most holy faith is our everything. Jesus becomes our everything. That's the way that it should be. Knowing Him is the normal, natural, common sense, simple, easy way to live. It's and going deeper with Him when we meet the Holy Spirit, then we understand that. It's like, wow, this is so wonderful. Now, God Almighty in within and in my life and all around me, and He comes upon me, and He's the who can say no to that? This is the most, it's so simple, so easy. That's okay. For someone to choose self and to say no to the only true God, that's the unnatural, difficult way to live, though it seems right to a man, as it says in Proverbs. So someone may ask, well, then how can this be? For example, I gave the stat in a recent message. Get this is true. Okay, you, if you 98% of people on the earth do not now and will not ever know His glory, will not be born of the Holy Spirit. 98%. How can this be? Now let's remember, 2% is still a lot of people. It's like 100 million, 150, 200 million people. Let's just be generous and say it's more than that. Well, still, but the point is, it's a very small percentage. Few, and Jesus revealed that, few get saved. Jesus told Mary Baxter, sad to say, most people will not repent before it's too late, and they will go to hell. I'm paraphrasing, but this is almost a direct quote. He said, but the way to heaven is the same for all people. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must repent of your sins while you're on the earth. You must sincerely give your heart to God and serve Him. That's in Divine Revelation of Hell. He also said, many people think they have unlimited time to accept God's grace. Okay, but practically, people may say, well, now wait a second. If all that you're saying is true, and yet most people don't get saved, and 98% don't experience His glory, why is that? Okay, and here's the reasons that the Bible reveals. Four things keep people from knowing Him and getting saved and so forth. Our old nature, sin, the world, and the enemy. Then Jesus revealed in the famous foundational parable, the parable of the sower, three things that keep people from bearing a crop: cares, riches, pleasures. And we see that. We can see that in other, even in our lives and in people, other people's lives. We can see that. Something Jesus said 2,000 years ago. So brilliant. I mean, He's God Almighty. Everything He said is eternal truth and revelation. But cares, riches, pleasures. And that's even, that parable reveals so much. For example, just one thing is, you know, the sower sows the seed. And so that's the Word of God, of course. And the Word of God is the revelation, this glorious gospel, this truth that God loves the world and that He sent Jesus to die and that for the world, and that the whole reason man is on the earth is to know Him and fellowship with Him. Like, okay, and so it falls, that seed falls on three places that don't bear any fruit, but then the fourth place does. But one of those three places that don't bear fruit, or, you know, a crop, now, I'm kind of generalizing about that parable. It's the foundational parable of all the parables. They receive it with joy, but then thorns come and choke that crop that was growing. And that's the cares, riches, and pleasures. That parable is in Matthew 13, the first part of that chapter, and I wanted to get this right, that Jesus said, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Gospel adds in pleasures, so it's cares, riches, pleasures. Well, and so there's these things keeping people from getting saved, keeping people from going deeper, keeping people from entering the second phase, being born of the Holy Spirit. What's the answer? The anointing, the presence of Jesus. That's the whole answer. That's the whole key. And He's so glorious and beautiful. That's when someone meets Him, it's like they've got it. They've got it. They found the answer. the most glorious, beautiful being in the universe. So awesome, so powerful. The glory of the Lord. And so then the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. He's our strength. He's our everything. He's our... To think that God offers Himself to every person on the earth, and yet most don't pursue Him and receive Him. It's baffling. And we can see in our own lives the times that we have not followed Him fully. But we can learn from it. He's gracious. He's merciful. He forgives. He even forgets. And we can move forward. As I mentioned yesterday, I've finished up so glorious that these visions of the God the Father on His throne a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, a fiery stream issued from before Him, from His throne. And so I played Revelation 22, those last two chapters of Revelation. It's the new heaven and earth in this glorious, made from God's glory. God's glory, heaven is made from His glory and permeated with His glory. We have that within us. The Holy Spirit. A great man of God said, don't let anything corrupt your heart. You know, what we have, he said, the anointing within your life is priceless. Priceless. The anointing, if you know Jesus Christ, anyone who knows Jesus Christ, no matter where they are in their walk with Him, the anointing that is within their spirit person, which is the anointing, is the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, is priceless. Their time is even priceless. Their time is worth, I mean, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, billions per hour, per minute. Why? Because now what we can do is eternal. We can store up treasures in heaven. The wealthiest people on the earth, if they don't know Jesus, they're not storing up things that last for eternity. The poorest person on the earth can know Jesus, okay? If they can just know Him, well, they'll make it to heaven and live forever in glory. But they also, on the earth, can store up treasures in heaven and do things that remain. That's what in Revelation it says, strengthen those things that remain, strengthen the things that last forever. Forget about those other things. And so brilliant in Isaiah, it says, come, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Without money, without cost. God, this is how God is. God, this reveals God's love and mercy for the world and how He's justified Himself. Someone doesn't have to have anything to know Him. How glorious that is. Someone, you know, they don't, if they're just a person on the earth, it doesn't, they don't have to own anything, have anything. They don't have to have any, you know, like skills or talents or accomplishments or any education. Nothing. Nothing matters but them giving their all to the only true God. And when they do that, God gives Himself to them. So glorious. In fact, having these things on the earth, that's often what keeps people from knowing Him. Okay. But just, I mean, that's just so incredible that this truth that I just spoke about, of course, it's so wonderful, but it also answers the objection. Many people object. There's some main objections people have. Suffering and the existence of hell is a big one. Perhaps the biggest one. But another one is people say, people believe just based on where they're from and they're in these other religions and they're sincere. How can you say that they're, if they don't come to Jesus Christ, that they're going to end up in hell? I mean, that's a big objection. But remember, when people present objections, it's the real cause of that is that they've chosen self. And the result of that is they're going to come up with all kinds of objections and all kinds of reasons not to know Him and choose Him. The objections are almost irrelevant. And so the only answer for them finding God is the anointing. You know, I'm want to explain it here because, I want to set the record straight, so to speak. But that objection, when we realize God does not require or want anything, someone to have anything. He only receives people. I mean, if you want to get down to the bottom line, He only works with and receives people who are dead, is what a great man of God explains it that way. What does that mean? That someone who realizes they are nothing, they realize they come to Him in total brokenness and humility, broken and contrite spirit. They humble themselves before Him. They repent and they say, they realize they're nothing. God is everything. I'm nothing. Okay. They're putting they don't even have to have a Bible. Okay. But what they're doing is they're putting their old nature to death, and that's who God receives. So when somebody's from another country where it's either Islam or Hindu or maybe some other religion, those things don't matter. None of those things matter. Our background, our training, the family we're from, our education, that's what's so wonderful. This reveals God's love and mercy. None of those things matter. He doesn't look at any of those things. So, I just truly believe that this reveals God's love and mercy and how He's justified Himself, is that those people from those other religions, they have the most glorious privilege. God has given them and every person the most glorious privilege going directly to Him. God is offering Himself to them. Doesn't matter if they were raised a Muslim or a Hindu or something else. Doesn't matter if they're from a rich or poor family. Doesn't matter their background, their training, their credentials, their education. None of those things matter. The gospel is for every person, from the highest to the lowest, from the richest to the poorest, from the most educated down to the least educated. God has justified Himself fully. Amen. And He's sent His Son to die. That's maybe the main way that He's justified Himself to the whole world. He's given His Son to the whole world. Amen. So, I wanted to start off at today's Monday. I wanted to get a lot of this in. But the key, His glory, His majesty, and what a privilege that someone can, when they go to Him, it's up to the person. God's not going to make them go deeper or choose Him. But if they can go deeper and they find the Holy Spirit, glory to God. They've got the treasure, that pearl of great price, the treasure buried in a field. The glory of the Lord. That's the Lord Himself. the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.